I'd like to welcome everybody again here this morning. It's good to see everyone out. If you're visiting with us and you visited with us in the past, you'll know that I'm not the normal preacher here. Like it was announced, I'm actually standing in for Alan while he's in Malawi. I'd like to encourage you to get your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 14, it says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." The context of this scripture here is that the Apostle Peter is addressing these Christians in his second letter, all right, to remind them and to encourage these readers to live life that is pleasing to God. And remind them to be basically not wavering from what they've actually been taught from the scriptures. And can continue to live out their lives in a way that they know to be true from God. And this encouragement is actually brought about because there's false teachers there that were spreading lies. And then one of the claims that were being made by these false teachers was that Christ will never return. They were waiting for Christ to return, and they're wondering where he is. Well, Peter actually reminds these Christians that judgment will, in fact, come eventually. The day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, and Christ will return. And when he does, the heavens and the elements, they're going to burn up, and everything is going to be destroyed. Peter then asks an essential question, because these prophecies of the scripture are true and these false teachers are flat out wrong. And the question is how should these Christians be living right now? Instead of indulging in sin without the fear of consequences, as these false teachers were actually suggesting, all right, they should lead holy and godly lives. They should live as people looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. And basically, we should be doing the same thing. They should be setting aside their sins that they're living in the world and live in peace with God. Again, 2 Peter 3:14 reads, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. This morning, what I want to look at is this word diligence. This word diligence is used by Peter in both letters that he writes to these Christians. And it's important for us to understand this concept of this word that pertains to us as Christians, this word diligence. And when we look in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it defines diligence as steady, earnest, and energetic effort, devoted and painstaking work, and application to accomplish an undertaking. The concept of discipline demands this idea of having diligence. Over in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, here Peter's talking about growing in the faith. And he states in verse 5, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge." And if you drop down to verse 10, Peter uses the word again concerning making their election sure. And verse 10 reads, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." If our efforts to be pleasing to God and adding to our faith and not and they don't include this concept of diligence, then our efforts are going to be weak. They're going to be feeble. They're going to be hindered. And we're not going to be able to reach the full potential that God wants us to reach and expects us to reach in worshiping him and devoting our lives to him. You know, we can give, some feeble effort, because we know that effort in and of itself has different levels. But without having this character quality of diligence in our lives towards God, we're going to be giving basically a lame in some sort of weak effort. We have to have diligence. I would imagine that everyone here as a Christian would say yes if I was to ask the question, is diligence a requirement to being a Christian or serving our Lord? And the answer, of course, is yet. Yet there might be some in here who may struggle with this idea of diligence. And if so, then we need to make sure that we fix that problem. Each of us needs to assess or examine our lives on a daily basis. Like Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 13:5, we're to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves and ask that question, am I diligently seeking God? If you've answered quietly no, then we need to work that out and we need to fix that. So the question this morning is, how can we become more diligent in serving God? That's what we're going to be looking at. The first thing that I would suggest is that we recognize that diligence is something or is developed out of something that is very important to us. All right, the more significant or important something is to us, the more diligent we're going to be in attaining that or addressing that thing of importance. And we want something, if we want something that desperately is what I was trying to say, we're going to work at it. It doesn't matter what we're after. If we want something, we're desperately and diligently going to actually seek that thing. It's going to be a priority in our lives. Like if you can use the examples of, say, athletes, competitive athletes. Brian alluded to this in his lesson. But competitive athletes will train. They're up at 5 in the morning, do a whole routine. They're focused on that goal of winning. They're focused on that goal or that sport that they're doing. They want to be the best at it. Why are they doing this? It's because it's something that is important to them. They see the goal that they want to reach. We can also look at if a person decides to start up a new business. I was talking to Jack after Bible class on Wednesday, and he was telling me about his brother, who is actually a very successful welder. And he started up his new business, and I guess it was thriving. Well, that doesn't come easy. That comes with diligence. That comes with the business plan. That comes with endless hours of dedication towards that thing that you are passionate about. And in order to become successful, a person needs to be hyper-dedicated to whatever that thing of importance is. In this case, as we're talking about somebody starting up a business, they become obsessed with it and sometimes sacrificing long hours. Long hours so much that they're forgetting the time that they need to be spending in other areas of their life, like their spouse or their family and other things that they're kind of putting on the back burner. All right. Why are they doing that? Because they're passionate. That is a priority for them. They want to succeed in there. They want to become or they are diligent in their efforts towards growing that business. Most successful businesses, they have a detailed business plan. All right. They form long term. They form short term and long term goals. They review their profit and loss statements. All right, they're constantly analyzing their efforts. What can I do better? What am I doing right now? They start focusing on how to be more successful. Well, we can do that when it becomes when it comes to becoming a Christian. And why do they do that? Because it is important to them. Let's read 2 Peter in chapter 1 if you want to turn over there. We should, as Christians, this should be something that is very important to us. Starting in verse 3 and 4, I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. As a divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Essentially, what Peter is actually saying here is that God, by his own mercy, he took us, he took you, he took me, and he made a way that we don't have to be ungodly anymore once we become Christians. We can be like God in perfection, of course, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we can all go to heaven when we leave this earth. Notice when Peter gets to verse 5 and 7, continuing on, he says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." How important is it in your life that God has offered you the means and the power through Jesus Christ to transform your sinful, your ungodly life into someone that is now a righteous person, now living a godly life? How important is that to you? Someone that's actually been redeemed, or someone whose sins are now forgiven. Stop and think about that gift and how important that is to us as Christians. Ask yourself, how much do these precious promises, as the word says here, how much do they actually mean to you? Remember, if we're going to use diligence, it's going to be something that is important to us. So when we focus and think on these things, are you doing that is the question. Are you thankful for that? When we focus on that, it's going to help us be more diligent. Does the fact that these facts here that we just read, do these produce in you or generate in you a desire for you to show your Heavenly Father how much this actually means to you? We have to ask that question. Does this make you want to work harder, show your faithfulness, and be more diligent? We have to examine our lives daily. None of us truly knows each other's heart or what problems each of us may be struggling with internally, all right, unless you actually reveal that to somebody, or why that some of us may not be as diligent as we can be. Only you know that. Only I know that. All right. I can tell you what mine are. I can tell you what I need to work on. And those things that I need to work on might actually align with what you possibly need to work on as well. There's a high probability that the reasons that we're not more diligent is that they stem from complacency, or laziness, or ingratitude. Brethren, if we don't focus and recognize on a daily basis what God has done for us in sending his only begotten perfect Son to this earth to be beaten, mocked, spat upon, and crucified on the cross, dying for our sins, then we're going to be more likely to become complacent. We're going to be more likely to become lazy. We're going to be more likely to become ungrateful. And in turn, we're going to fail. We're going to fail to reach our true potential by becoming diligent Christians to the standard that Peter is talking to these Christians about. Ask yourself, do you truly appreciate what God has done for us? Is it important enough for you to increase your diligence in serving him? You know, we all can give lip service to being grateful for what God has done for us. Oh, yeah, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what God has done. But are you quietly telling yourself, well, I don't have to show up to every service, or I I don't have to check on my brothers and sisters in need all the time, or I don't have to work on my anger, or I don't have to work on my patience or my personal evangelism all the time. If you're telling yourself that, then you better put yourself in check. If serving God is the most important thing to you here on this earth, then you will be diligent in serving him. Look back to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 10 through 14. Starting in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be," sorry, my page is wrong, "will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." And then Peter's response in verse 14, the verse that we've started out with, says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things," which things? The ones that we just covered. "Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Another question we need to ask is, how many of us really focus on the end of the world and what takes place after that? Do you focus on these things? By focusing on the reality of these things, does it actually change the way that you think about God? Does it change your view of diligence towards your Heavenly Father? You know, before I retired over a year ago, when I was getting dressed, getting my uniform, putting all my Batman tools on, I'll tell you what, there was many times I would think, hey, this could be it. This could be the last day that I'm here on this earth due to the nature of the job that I was doing. And it made me think. It made me be diligent and non-complacent when I was doing making contacts with people. You have to do that. And that would actually waken me up for the day and get me ready. We can do that with our Christianity as well. You know, we live in a very carnal world, a carnal society, and it's driven by instant gratification, all right, pleasurable things. We want things that make us happy, or we want things that make us feel good. But these things of the world will not add to our faith, virtue, to our virtue knowledge. It's only through the diligence of that we give our Lord that these things will be added. In fact, the reality is that when we are working on these things, it's not always going to feel good. It's not always going to necessarily make us instantly happy. All right, there's inevitably going to be times where we struggle. We struggle with the things of life here on this earth. Are you focusing on these things, and do these spiritual things, what the Lord has done for us, and what's going to happen after this, and what is coming? Are these things important enough that they make you diligent? While diligence is generated by the things that are important in our lives, the importance that we place on things, diligence also needs to have a practical focus. In other words, what are you specifically doing to be diligent? What are you doing in order to make yourself more diligent? A Christian could say, well, I'm working to serve the Lord. That's too broad, all right? What are you actually doing? How are you going to be serving the Lord? The less specific a person is, the more difficult it is to be diligent toward that specific thing. Diligence must have a sort of focus and can't be too broad. When you know specifically what you want, being diligent, it's much, much more attainable. And if you're a new babe in Christ and you're just starting out, I don't know about you, but when I was first a Christian, I had all this energy. I was so passionate and I wanted to get out there and I wanted to serve God. But you don't know what the need, basically, if you don't have that focus, you're not going to be able to be diligent. And if you're a new babe in Christ, ask a brother. Ask a brother, hey, how can I be more diligent in this? How can I focus more on this? Because you may not know as a new babe in Christ. We become diligent when we practice what the Apostle Paul talked about in Ephesians 4, 17 through 24, and also in Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Here, Paul is speaking in these passages about the characteristics of being a new man. We know as Christians, we have to put on that new man and put aside the things of the past and focusing on spiritual things instead of carnal things. Your priorities are different, all right? The way you think is different. You focus on these things daily, and you have a plan and a goal to be more diligent in these areas. Turn back to 2 Peter 3, 14. Once again, this was what we started out with. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Those are practical things that each one of us can work on, and we can focus on these things to be more diligent. If you look again at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. We ought to have a confidence in our salvation as Christians. We need that confidence. Confidence in that the Lord has promised salvation to those who follow and obey his word. And we know that we cannot get to heaven on our own, all right? And that God's mercy and his grace and the death of our Savior Jesus Christ is required. But Peter says here that we are to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. We are to be even more diligent to make our call and election sure. God also knows when we are not being entirely diligent in serving him. Looking at this verse here in 10, look at the fact that Peter tells us to be even more diligent in order to make our call and election sure. This necessarily infers that there are different degrees or efforts of being diligent. Back to 2 Peter 1:5, listen to the language here that Peter is using in this verse. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. God wants all of our diligence, all of our effort, not a 0.25%, not a half, not 0.75%, but 100% of our diligence. That's all diligence. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, the Hebrew writer, by inspired Holy Spirit, is reminding them that there is a promised rest. That's what he calls it, and warns the Jewish Christians not to fall back into Judaism. This is what the context of this is. And then he writes in verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Don't get discouraged, all right? But focus on the goal. Don't lose your passion. If you go two chapters over in Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12, the writer's discussing their spiritual progress, and he writes in verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We need to be careful in those times where we become discouraged. It's going to happen, but we need to be very careful. We need to press towards that goal. We recognize in that each of us will experience difficult and trying times and discouraging times. Folks, we live in a fallen world. Ever since Genesis chapter 3 and the fall of man, we talked about that in our class this morning. We need to be like Paul as he writes to the brethren in Philippi, over in Philippians 3. I'm going to read that, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In order to reach forward and press towards that goal that Paul's talking about here, we have to have this diligence that we're talking about. Well, as we bring this lesson to a close, let's turn over to Matthew 7. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. Of course, these are familiar passages where Jesus himself speaks about how many will actually be saved. Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's a scary part of that verse right there. There are few who find it. I think the difference between those that will be saved and those that will not be saved may very well be largely based on the diligence that we give or demonstrate in serving our Lord. How about you? Do you need to increase your diligence to the Lord? My hope is that each of us will give an honest assessment, like Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, an honest assessment of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. No matter who you are in this room, we all, every one of us, has room for improvement. Improvement to be more diligent. And if you're not a Christian and you would like to become one, of course, arrangements can be made, all right, to be baptized into Christ and be added to his church. If you are already a member of the body of Christ and you need the prayers of the congregation, let your request be made known as we stand and as we sing.